What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, FightfulSelect.com. This is the Backstage Report podcast. We're going to talk about a bunch of the exclusives that we broke this week and give you guys some additional information on all that. First off, I want to apologize for not having the SmackDown news. Sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't, like right before the show. I was in Minneapolis. I was at the Rampage Dark taping, so I wasn't able to procure that information. Obviously, we're not going to be able to do that for each and every show, but we're going to try our best to. So thank you guys for understanding. Hope you guys liked what we did. We've been covering a lot more MLW lately, too. We had some really, really great news, by the way, of that company. Let's go ahead and talk about that. ACH is back. And not only is he back, he's back there regularly, I'm told. This seems to be a place in MLW where people like ACH, who maybe they need some time off here and there, they don't know exactly what their future holds by way of long-term pro wrestling, they can go there, they can find out if it's something that they love, something that they want, and give their all while they're doing it. And from what I understand, that's what ACH is doing. I'm so glad he's back. So glad that he's back. Willow Nightingale will not be back, at least as of now. We've learned that she's finishing up with MLW. After bursting onto the national scene more this year, after 6 years on the indies, she'll effectively finish up with both ROH and MLW as ROH is wrapping up things for now. Sources within MLW spoke highly of Willow's time in the company and believe she's gained interest from other companies for a full-time contracted work, and have confidence she'll do well with that good opportunity. On Willow's way out, she lost to Holidead, who has formed a new group with Arez. We're told that both of them are in line for pushes with that company. But that's not it. We've got new MLW titles coming. We've been told that an MLW Women's Featherweight Championship is coming to the company. Not imminently, as they have started to reach out to belt designers or belt makers about designs for the title. They are shrinking the actual MLW world title. We're told that a more normal one will be coming soon, as Court Bauer did not like the almost novelty size of some of the championships. We're told that it's quite possible that the tag team titles will be shrunk as well. We're told that the design wasn't the concern, just the size itself, and that it worked really well for Jacob Fatu, but maybe not so much for other people. However, this is me interjecting my opinion. I love it. I love how ridiculous size it is. It's one of those things that gets the company buzz, and I think that's pretty neat. But hey, they make the calls there. I like them personally. Some scoops from the distraction, if you could imagine such a thing. Fightful's Jeremy Lambert spoke with Paola Blaze, who's also known as Paola Mayfield. She revealed to us that she's been booked for NWA Hard Times 2 on December 4th. She was on season 1 of 90 Day Fiancé, has over a million Instagram followers. She appeared at Empower alongside Genocide and Taryn Terrell, sharing the ring with Awesome Kong and Gail Kim before Kong announced her retirement, and has regularly been appearing on Power, but hasn't signed a contract with the promotion. You can check out that interview now at the Distractions YouTube channel, youtube.com/FightfulDistraction. Jeremy's doing some really good work with interviews over there. He interviewed Mike Kingston of Headlock Comics recently as well. So show them some love. Then they did some great work this weekend as well. Somebody I spoke to, Jay White. Now, I got to preface this by saying, White outright said, "I could very well be lying to you about everything," during this interview. But he got noticeably frustrated on and off camera about incorrect reports about, or what he said were incorrect reports, I should say, about his contract, his time, etc. He said that he has never been approached by AEW, never had formal conversations about the company or with the company about coming in. He said, when I asked about a 7-year contract in 2018, he said, rumors of an exorbitant contract are not true. He would not specify the length of his contract. He said that WWE did have interest in him, though, but had disputed a lot else. Now, Voices of Wrestling claims that he does have a long-term contract. They've got some really good New Japan connections. So, I'm just taking what he said. That's how we reported it, was Jay White said this. But you know what? Workers work, and sometimes that happens. But we can report what this person says, so to speak. We also spoke to Ethan Page. Man, that was awesome. So if you guys have listened to my stuff very long, you know. We don't get a lot of AEW interviews through the company. I think there have been two this year. The other ones I set up myself and were with people who didn't have full-time contracts or had loopholes. So it was very nice to be able to speak with Ethan Page to promote Full Gear. He became a free agent on January 1. So I can tell you guys now, there was an exit interview, so to speak, that I had filmed. And it was at the beginning of this year. I did Zicky Dice and Ethan Page. And we ran Zicky Dice's, and we didn't end up running the one with Ethan Page. It was going to go on his channel, actually. And we didn't end up doing that because he started conversations with AEW right after. I didn't know that he started conversations with AEW after because, quite frankly, that's not something he needs or has to share with me. But he revealed to me in this interview that it was within a few days. Within that week, he had started the process of coming into the company. It's one of the reasons why we didn't end up running that interview, which was very good. But he's talked about how happy he is there. He said that Tony Khan constantly puts over Ethan Page's two black belts, and he credited Tom Lawler for going along with the goofiness of Karate Man during their match. He framed his gear from his match with Sting. He wants to see Paige Van Zandt do more wrestling and actively pitched for it during our interview. He said that he doesn't always agree with the content of Dan Lambert's promos, but the reactions are always insanely loud and he can't hear himself. That is a very good talk. It's a lot of fun. We rated my action figures. I love talking to Ethan Page. He's one of those guys, along with MJF, Thunder Rosa. Like, I'll interview every single time I get the opportunity to. Usually it seems to be about once a year, but I encourage you guys to check that out. It was a lot of fun. We have some news on WWE producers. Abyss, Petey Williams produced the 8-man tag on Raw last week. Adam Pearce's announcement in the following match was produced by Jason Jordan. Big E versus Chad Gable produced by Helms and Jimmy Wang Yang. Reggie, Drake Maverick produced by Adam Pearce. And the 5-way women's match was produced by Pat Buck, Molly Holly, and no surprise, Tyson Kidd, who does a lot of great women's work. The Sasha Banks promo and the 6-woman tag on SmackDown were produced by Tyson Kidd and Molly. Nakamura and Booze against Los Lotharios produced by Abyss and Jimmy Wang Yang. Jeff Hardy and Sami Zayn produced by Jamie Noble and Sean Devari. And then Xavier Woods and Roman Reigns had Petey Williams solely listed as the producer. Now, Ringside News had posted a thing saying that he was being fast-tracked as a producer in WWE. He was the only one that I saw listed for this match, a main event match with Roman Reigns. So that would be big if so, but I don't know if maybe a name was left off. I have no idea. So we'll work to learn more on that, but it would make sense given the situation. And he's had a lot of experience producing in the past as well. Well, we've got some news on ROH and these indie names that were coming in, being Effie and AJ Gray. So ROH has been making headlines for not so great reasons, releasing all the wrestlers and announcing they're taking the first quarter of 2022 off. But Effie and AJ Gray worked the recent ROH tapings. Then the Briscoes had worked GCW before that. They made an appearance. Fightful learned that before GCW had their show, in which Fight Club was the name of it, I believe, they had meetings with each other, ROH and GCW. They had some talks about talent exchange. This is what led to the Briscoes appearing on the show. Effie and AJ Gray were a part of the deal as well. We learned that Jay Lethal was brought up as a possibility, but that things didn't make it that far, and that was never really a part of the deal. And obviously, Jay Lethal hit the bricks and went to AEW instead. Now, this shows me a few different things, and this is me speaking as a matter of opinion here. GCW wrestlers aren't under contract, as far as I know. Effie and AJ Gray are not signed. ROH could have just brought them in anyway without having the Briscoes there, unless there was some sense of loyalty that prevented that. So it's evident to me that ROH wanted to capitalize off of the buzz of GCW, not just Effie and AJ. Two great talent, two people that deserve to be spotlighted, but GCW is also on fire right now, so it's not surprising to me that if ROH wanted to gain some buzz, that they do that by bringing in two of the top indie stars and tying that association in with GCW. That makes all the sense in the world to me. I believe this was supposed to be a mutually beneficial relationship, and the unfortunate news of ROH going away kind of put a halt to a bit of that 2 weeks later. Hey, you want some good news? Well, we've got a Lady Frost interview on Tuesday that's dropping. We filmed this a couple weeks ago. Now, she didn't outright tell me where she was signing. She told me that she had an offer from NWA earlier this year and that it did not affect her appearance on Empower when she passed it up. But she did confirm that she had an offer from Impact Wrestling. This was a couple weeks ago. Last week, we confirmed with Impact Wrestling that she has signed with the company, or sources within Impact Wrestling. She signed a long-term deal. She was not present at the Bound for Glory set of tapings, so won't be used until at least the next set, unless there are pre-tapes of something or something of that sort used. Impact also recently landed the Inspiration and Masha, reinforcing their Knockouts division. I'll have some more on Lady Frost on Fightful Select today from our interview. You guys are going to really like it. It's good, long form. We talk about her time in WWE, ROH, NWA, her appearances in Impact as well, her name. It is a really fun interview. I think you guys are going to enjoy it an awful lot. So the big story last week, and I didn't expect it to gain as much traction as it did. And quite frankly, hopefully it helps the situation with Xavier Woods. Up, up, down, down's creators are effectively on strike. We learned that all the content of creators associated with Up, Up, Down, Down have stopped making content for the brand in solidarity with Xavier Woods. They felt he was getting taken advantage of by a bad deal with Up, Up, Down, Down. From what I was told, Xavier Woods has not made an extra dime off of Up, Up, Down, Down because it all goes towards his downside guarantee. I've been told that's the case with G4 as well. I'm sure it is not a thrilling thing to have Tyler Breeze, Jessamyn Duke, and Mia Yim all released from WWE. Tyler Breeze and Jessamyn Duke worked on new deals to remain with Up, Up, Down, Down. Adam Cole departed as he signed with AEW. So about half of that cast is no longer with WWE as an entertainment company in the sense that they are in-ring wrestlers. Jessamyn Duke is on a bit of a media deal there. And it was stressed that this does not mean the end of the Up, Up, Down, Down channel. There are hopes that this would be rectified and fixed, and I believe they're still filming some content. Some of them are. It's just they're not airing it. They're not running it right now, but they're not submitting new content. The Up, Up, Down, Down being applied to the downside guarantee is something that upset a lot of people in the company. I didn't hear anybody sort of standing up for WWE in this sense. Sorry about the stutter there, but he grew that channel from zero to 2.27 million subscribers. They are making plenty of money on that channel. To clarify, also, WWE has always owned Up, Up, Down, Down. I apologize for the erroneous aspect of that. Myself, like many others, assumed that at one point Xavier Woods owned it and sold it, but I'm told that not only did he not do that, was there no lump sum or anything, he didn't have additional money in place in that sense. And he signed with WWE again in 2019 with other members of New Day. Several WWE sources said that the members of Up, Up, Down, Down all felt a real sense of loyalty to Xavier Woods for putting them on that platform and pushing their presences. I've been told there's no heat as far as his booking side of things, and noted that he won King of the Ring. He's in this top feud with Roman Reigns. Everybody in that company that I have spoken to likes Xavier Woods and puts over his work ethic and how he approaches things and just how he is in general and how helpful that he is and how he wants to spread the wealth and he doesn't want to keep all the attention for himself. He is, from the people that I speak with, the ultimate team player, is the ultimate guy that you want in your locker room. He's got a wealth of experience. He's good in the ring. He's charismatic. He's funny. He can do content. He can cut a promo. He's versatile in the ring. He can work as a singles. He can work as a tag. He can work as a trio. He can do comedy. He can do serious. In that instance, you keep him. You do whatever you can to keep him happy in that sense, because that helps out morale with other people, as we see. This is one of the best instances of solidarity in wrestling as far as something like this goes. I mean, we saw some of it with the Montreal Screwjob in 97, where Rick Rude walked out the door, Brian Adams walked out the door, Mick Foley was ready to walk out the door, British Bulldog Jim Neidhart left, along with Bret Hart. But I got a lot of respect for members of that group doing that. It says a lot about them as people, and it says an awful lot about Xavier Woods as a person as well. Injury updates. Dax Harwood was knocked out at Full Gear. We have learned that Kenny Omega has been dealing with a shoulder injury, and Dave Meltzer said he hasn't even been able to lift weights, which is rough. Darius Martin said to be progressing well, but there's no timetable for his return for those asking. We also unfortunately learned that Zoe Stark is sidelined with a torn ACL in October. Saray returned to Japan. She says she's going to be back, though, hoping she is back and hoping that Zoe Stark gets well soon. We've added Low Ki to the inactive list. He hasn't wrestled since April. We've got Eli Everfly, who had a separated collarbone. Nicole Savoy returned to action after she had a bit of an injury scare at MLW. Also, some really sad news for Chris Dickinson, who I was actually supposed to interview ahead of Bloodsport, but wasn't able to. He got injured at New Japan's Battle in the Valley event in San Jose after he did a frog splash off the top rope. He said that he dislocated his hip. He is set to undergo surgery, I think he did undergo surgery by now. Or maybe it's happening like as we film this even. But he's expected to miss up to 6 months. I really, really encourage you guys, if you're able to support, especially these indie wrestlers that are sidelined, please do so. And a lot of people would say, oh, well, I mean, don't they have regular jobs? I mean, that's not going to help him necessarily when he's got a dislocated hip and can't really work that either, assuming he does. Who knows if he does, but support them as best you can. It is very helpful when you buy their merch and you buy their cameos and you buy their shirts and all that stuff. But hoping that he gets well soon. Contract updates. Bryan Danielson has confirmed that his deal with AEW is a 3-year deal, which would seemingly put him until September 2024, maybe a little bit before that, depending on when he signed it or when the start date is or anything like that. But Jay Lethal also signed with AEW. He said it came together in the last few days before AEW Full Gear. Now, I want to address a lot of that situation, the Jay Lethal situation, in that one of the people that made an allegation against him is Taylor Hendricks, and we had a lot of people that said to us and other media, why didn't any media ask about these allegations to Tony Khan, Jay Lethal, et cetera, et cetera? We had people say, why did you even cover it, et cetera, et cetera? He was not advertised for either the scrum or the event. I'll talk about this as much as I feel comfortable because I don't want to reveal too much of the context of my conversation with Taylor Hendricks interpersonally. However, as our subscribers, I feel as if I owe you guys a little bit more transparency in how we handle stuff like this than some randoms that don't seem to be interested in good faith discussion about this. There are some that are, and there's an awful lot that aren't, and she recognized that. So when Jay Lethal debuted at AEW, the first thing I did while still at the venue was reach out to Taylor Hendricks. I want to make this clear. Taylor Hendricks did not tell me, do or do not ask about me, do or do not ask about the situations, etc. We had a conversation and we discussed that, and she noted there was a major conflict of interest. And for those of you who don't understand necessarily what that means is, Taylor Hendricks works for Fightful. She works with Fightful. She has for almost 2 years. She is my friend. We've not been covering her work. So, I mean, there's not necessarily that conflict of interest because she hasn't wrestled during the pandemic, I don't think. So, I mean, there's not necessarily a conflict of interest on that side. But these allegations are a lot different than subjective entertainment. This isn't me saying Taylor Hendricks or Jay Lethal had a good or bad match. This angle is bad, because that's not what is being discussed here. It's a very real-life thing. The best comparison there I can draw is when Shane Helms was a podcaster on Fightful, I would often say that some of the angles that he was in weren't good. Because I didn't want a conflict of interest there. I didn't want the perception of a conflict of interest there. He understood. He always said that we were fair about that. But that's not what this is. This is something categorically different. So I reached out to Taylor Hendricks immediately, and she got back to me within a matter of minutes. And as much detail as I'm willing to share is that I have made it clear then and since then that I would not be asking Jay Lethal any questions at the scrum or Tony Khan about Jay Lethal. I would not be interviewing him, and I've made that clear to ROH long ago, unless she felt comfortable with me doing it, straight up. It wasn't a situation where she said, oh no, please don't. It wasn't a situation where I said, hey, I'm not. It was a conversation that we had to where this is a person who 3 years ago was getting death threats. Her family was getting death threats. She was getting very lewd, rude, and harassing messages, and which have slowed down. And regardless of the stance of anybody else, that's something that nobody is keen on getting. Nobody likes to get that type of stuff. She was very, very happy with the support she got online. She was very emotional about that. And I want to say thank you from Fightful for those of you who did. I was not there. I do not know the experience. I do not know firsthand what happened with Jay Lethal and Taylor Hendricks. But Taylor Hendricks is my friend. She does work with us. And I do have a major conflict of interest there. I have spoken to Jay Lethal once in my life on a media call. It was a fine experience. It was okay. But since Taylor came on board, it was very clear that interviewing him is not something that we should be doing. And possibly causing Taylor Hendricks to get more death threats and her family to get more grief is not something that I wanted to jump on board with. She thanked myself and Denise and Alex for being steadfast and supportive, and she has been nothing but wonderful. She has not complained. She has not asked for pity. She appreciates the support. And outside of that, I don't want to speak for her. I'm comfortable saying that it was made clear between us that Fightful does have to cover the news, and she is okay with that. It was made clear between Fightful and Taylor Hendricks that Fightful has a big conflict of interest here, so probably that question coming from us wouldn't have been a keen idea. I do not want people to think that she came to me and said, do not ask about this. Do ask about this. That is not what happened. It was a conversation between two adults who worked together that were exercising some discretion. And if for some reason that makes our subscribers or viewers or our non-subscribers or non-viewers, maybe that sullies our reputation as journalists or mine specifically, I'm okay with that. And I understand if it does, and no ill will if it does. I've never said that I'm the best journalist. I don't call myself a journalist in a serious matter. I don't want this to be about me, but I would much rather make an attempt to be a good friend than a good journalist, and that will be my priority ahead of being a good journalist every single time if I can help it. If that's not something you're okay with, then this might not be the right service for you. Fightful might not be the right outlet for you, and I might not be the right guy to get your news from. And that's okay, and I completely understand it. And again, there would be no ill will about that. I just wanted to make that clear because a lot of you do subscribe for what you call journalism. And a lot of you do subscribe to have the hard questions asked. And if you have listened to any of our interviews, if you have listened to any of our press stuff, you know that we like to mix that up. Sometimes when the situation calls for it, we do. Other times when the situation doesn't call for it, we're not going to. Sometimes when the situation calls for it, we aren't the one that asked that. Fightful asked Triple H about Velveteen Dream 2 or 3 different times. But please understand that what I didn't want was to set up a situation where a friend of mine was waking up to a bunch of really aggressive, uninformed Twitter mentions or DMs or text messages or emails. And that decision was accomplished by having a conversation with that person itself. Now, to address another aspect of it, there were people that said, okay, well, Jay Lethal had many allegations against him. So as far as I know, and as far as we've covered on Fightful, the other allegation was from Kelly Klein. And I'm not going to make an effort to minimize or like discredit that because I do not know what happened. The allegation in which Kelly Klein made was that in January 2017, she said that she was uncomfortable working with Jay Lethal and was not willing to work with him. ROH spoke with Kelly Klein and she accused him of sexually harassing behavior. Now, from what I have been able to find since then, because again, this situation is muddied to say the least because of Joey Mercury's contentious relationship and often threatening relationship with ROH and Kelly Klein's association with him, was that Jay Lethal once approached her near a hot tub and said things like, "Where are you staying? How long are you staying? Is your boyfriend with you?" From what I understand, that would have been when she was with BJ Whitmer, so he would be with the company. That is not the same in context as what happened with Taylor Hendricks. Again, don't know if it happened, don't know if it did happen, don't know the way that physical verbal cues were made or anything like that. And there is, I think, still an ongoing lawsuit in which this is cited between Kelly Klein and Ring of Honor. So, I mean, it can play out there, but a way different situation there. Now, Jay Lethal himself, when denying all this stuff, has said, "Do not attack the accusers." So I really, really hope nobody listening to this attacks Kelly Klein, attacks Taylor Hendricks, or anybody else. That isn't an answer. That isn't a right thing to do. And if you do that, please do not subscribe to our service. That is not the kind of person that we want subscribing to Fightful Select or supporting Fightful. That isn't it. So as far as I know, those are the two allegations, and they are categorically different from one another. Obviously, I wasn't there, but I don't know how they unfolded, but we have a clear conflict of interest as Taylor Hendricks is a part of our staff. I hope you guys understand. That isn't the situation with most stuff. I have reported positive, negative, indifferent news about people that I consider my friends, people that I have good relationships with. I've said that people's matches are good, great, sucky, shitty, about people that I have good, positive, negative interactions with as well. We will always report our news objectively to the best of our ability, and I will personally review wrestling as objectively as I can while still treating it as subjective entertainment. This is not subjective entertainment. That's not what this is. This is somebody that I work with. This is a friend. I would have loved to have not had to clarify any of this, but there were people who took my words out of context, which Taylor recognized and didn't want to happen. I didn't want to happen either. There were people that were speaking for her. There were people who were speaking for me, who were implying that either one of us said things that we didn't say. And again, I don't owe anybody the context of our conversation. But, yeah, we will continue to cover AEW, but I will not be participating in Jay Lethal interviews. I will not be participating in Jay Lethal media calls. If he is at a scrum, it'll be filmed. I will not be asking questions at it. She's okay with that. I'm okay with that. I hope you guys understand. Again, if you don't, that's okay. You are free to spend your money and support things to any degree in which you deem necessary, and I will never hold it against you if you don't subscribe to Fightful, but I will always be eternally grateful that you do subscribe to Fightful. Also, to get this out there. I've been a little block happy lately on Twitter, especially over situations like this. If you want me to unblock you, drop me your at. And as long as you weren't being abhorrent and terrible, which is quite honestly what I usually block, I will unblock you. Personally, I'm going to spend more time and energy on the people that love me and support me, as opposed to the people whose minds you won't change. And that is something that Taylor did stress to me as well. And after all the grief that she got, I think she is pretty experienced in that situation. So she seems to be doing well and happy, and we're very happy about that. And we're hopeful that we can be a part of that. There are some people whose mind you will never change and will want to pick a fight no matter what. I'll do better about that, and I know I could have done better about that from the jump with how we handled this situation. It's just, quite honestly, I was more worried about my friend's feelings than anybody else's, and I hope that you guys get that and understand where I'm coming from in this instance. This is a very unique instance, and I'm hopeful that it's an instance that never has to be approached again. I loved meeting so many of you in Minnesota. Thank you all so much. I know the end of the show was very long-winded, but it's something that I felt like I owed to our audience, especially our loyal audience. Thank you. We're out.